I'm wearing my original Revelation series shirt. That's right. This is a shirt I wore on day one with the big hole in it over here. Kind of a beachy type thing. Wore this in the bunker in Sao Paulo, Brazil on day one. I'm going to wear it on the last day of the Revelation series. I'm wearing it now because it's cozy. Good morning, everyone. This is Martin Zender. This is the Revelation series. And somebody really got to me. I'm going to share an email with you that I received from someone named Esther. This is really good. I love it when people kind of kick my ass this way. And not really that extreme, but this is what she says concerning my show, saying that that I want my enemies to be reconciled to me, and I'm having a hard time seeing again the wholesale destruction of the unveiling chapter 19 when God and Christ crush the opposers of God in the valley of Jehoshaphat, crush them like grapes, like people stomping on grapes. And their gore oozes out. And Esther says this, "You might not be so horrified by the judgment when you see all the heinous crimes they've committed against people and how much pleasure they took in doing those things. I'll be glad to see them get justice, but I'm also glad that they will be reconciled eventually. God is good." End quote. Amen, Esther. You got me on that. I honestly do believe that if I had personally witnessed a religious martyrdom, if I had personally seen someone burned at the stake or crucified or beheaded, some monstrous thing, or worse, if it happened to one of my loved ones, then no doubt I would be cheering on this retribution. It's like, yes, these people are getting what's coming to them. And as I've said many times, I do want to see some of that. But Esther is right. I live a coddled existence. That's kind of what the message I'm taking from this. And we all do. We all are in a privileged era. We live in the United States where there is no persecution. I can get on this internet and I can talk to you about Christ and I don't have to worry about the Sanhedrin dragging my ass out of here and stoning me. I don't have to worry about it. I've never seen a friend or a loved one killed for the sake of Christ. These martyrs coming out of the tribulation will have seen this big time. And those Christians of the first century saw it big time. Stephen was stoned. Peter was crucified upside down. That's not nice. That's horrible. And Christians were thrown to the lions and tortured and all sorts of horrible things by horrible people, terrible people that need to be stomped on and tormented a little bit until they realize the truth. And Esther admits she also wants to see people come to the truth. God bless her for that. And I do too, of course. So it's not good for me to skip over this part. This must be given to those people who have suffered greatly. See, I'm not one of them. Yes, I've suffered, and yes, you've suffered. But what is our suffering compared to those who have been jailed, who have been put in dungeons, who have been tormented, who have been scourged and mutilated? Paul talks about people in the book of Hebrews who have been sawn asunder. That's a King James way of saying that their limbs were cut off. People were tied to horses and drawn and quartered. The horses stretched them out, all four limbs, and their limbs were chopped off. That is really horrendous. All because they held some religious belief that was, I'm sure, correct. They held a belief that was right, and they were persecuted by people of the mainstream religion. And people of the mainstream religion will always persecute people who hold to the truth. And so, yes, I have changed my ways. I'm all for it. Squash them to death after you torment them, and then bring them to justice. Yes, if we could just see a film of someone being tortured, I mean, you would want it to stop, and you'd want the perp to be apprehended and immediately disciplined. And Jesus Christ himself is going to toss corpses of mortals who offended in his kingdom, toss them into the valley of Jehoshaphat, or the valley of Gehenna, the valley of Ben-Hinnom, in Jerusalem, the southwest corner thereof, and there they will be burned. Their bodies will be incinerated so that room can be made for more bodies. That is one of the attractions of the thousand-year kingdom, is that justice is forthwith, is justice is swift. And it comes to people right away. Not only is it swift, but it's summarily executed. And I'm all for this. And the reason, one of the big evils of today, is that justice stands far off, and that people get away with murder, literally, and that the innocent are prosecuted and the guilty run away in their little escape cars. And I hate this. And so, yes, Esther, let's look forward to this, actually. If not for ourselves, then for those people who have been so terribly, horribly hurt by this. Now, you know, I've also said that many people were persecuted because they were stupid. Many people were persecuted because Paul told them to lay low. Paul says in Romans 13, do not oppose the regularly constituted authorities, because they are God's mandate for the earth at the time. Even though they might be evil, we're still to be subject to the superior authority. So don't do anything stupid. Don't disobey the law. Don't break the law. But if you're within the law and you're heralding the truth and you're being persecuted, and God's going to make it up to you. He's going to make it up to you. That's great. So, I was talking to a friend last night. So I want to go back a little bit. Here's an interesting thing about the political landscape. And the reason this is important is that, again, Revelation is about religion and politics, but we are in the end time scenario. And so it deserves to be analyzed. And the last election was a huge part of the end time scenario. I predicted for a long time, ever since this series started, and before that, I think I was predicting this in 1994, that there would be a conservative take back of power, that the liberals, who had no interest in persecuting the enemies of the United States, that they would have to be deposed politically and replaced by a party that would be interested. Because that's my main interest. Not that I'm with one party or another, but my main interest is to see end time predictions, the predictions of Daniel specifically in Daniel chapter 7. I want to see those fulfilled. Why? Because I want things to move on. My wish is not going to make them move on, but I'm interested to see them happening, because then I'm going to see Jesus, and I want to see Jesus. So I'm looking forward to these things happening. I'm not interested, as some people think I should be, in more trials. Oh, Lord, give me more trials so that I can suffer more, because I want my character built. Yes, no, my character has been built enough. That's my personal opinion, and I'm ready to get out of here. So I'm praying to get out of here, and I want it to happen. But of course, I end all my prayers with, thy will, not mine, be done. So now my prediction has come true, and that now the conservatives are in power. But let me tell you this, because many of you hate conservatives. You don't understand. These definitions are being changed. For instance, those who in the United States we call liberals, they're not classic liberals. They're not the liberal out of the JFK mode. They're freaking radicals. They're politically correct, mindless robots who are fascinated by the collective, fascinated by communism, fascinated by Castro, and they just don't get it. This is not the classic liberalism of days gone by, which had more to do with independence and sovereignty and fiscal responsibility and... No, now it's just become a cult, a fringe cult. So conservatism has changed too. I'm finding this, and this is just now happening, I think. Conservatism used to be, when you think of a conservative, you think of a real square, milquetoast, white bread type of person from the 50s who is morally correct and does everything right and who never makes waves. That's not the way it is now, because look at Trump. You know, conservatives are now rebels. They're rebels. They're not anarchists, but they're against the collective. They're against globalism. They're against cold, heartless entities. They want people to be independent. They're not true conservative nowadays. It's not going to dictate your morality to you and tell you what you have to do. And they can make decisions based on common sense, not political correctness. They're real men and real women who are not afraid of offending people. Therefore, they will make waves for the cause of righteousness. And I know I'm getting into ticklish territory there with many of you. All righteousness, who decides what's righteous? Well, God does. God does. And what's cool is, it might be happening, I don't know, not on a wholesale level, but people are no longer associating God with traditional religion. This has been my thing all along. If only people realized that there was a third party. Now, I'm not talking about political parties now, but God parties. There are people who say, okay, there's only two choices. There's the establishment of not only politics, but religion. And if you're established in politics or religion, you have to camp on one party or another. Let's turn now strictly to religion. If you're in religion, you see that it's bullcrap. You see that many of the doctrines are hypocritical. They claim that God is love, and yet he condemns many people to eternal torment or annihilates them. Religion claims that God is a God of grace, and you find out that he's just waiting for you to make a mistake, and he's going to screw you out of everything because you made a mistake. So people throw away religion, but they throw away God and Christ with it because they think that God and Christ are members of the religion. So it's this dichotomy, this two-party thing, just like Republicans and Democrats. There's only two parties, there's nothing in between. That's old way of thinking. The old way of thinking is there's only religion and there's only spiritual anarchy where you have no God, because you know that the religion is hypocritical. It's a mess. It's a cluster.
And maybe
you hate it, so you throw it out, but you throw out the baby with the bathwater. You throw out the baby Jesus, and you throw out God. And so you become without God. You become an atheist. And I keep pushing, and I have been pushing for 23 years, this third party where, no, there's something besides organized religion and besides atheism. The truth is that God himself is outside of the mainstream, outside of the mainstream. He's not this careful little 1954 conservative. He's fun. He's energetic. He kicks butt. He's not politically correct. He's a rebel. Yeah, just like you want to be. Yes, yes, you can have this God. This is your God. This is your God. He agrees with you. The organized religion is garbage. It's a hypocritical mess. He agrees with you. And so you can put your trust in him again, knowing that he's not part of the organization. Back to Donald Trump. You think this guy's a conservative? I mean, he may have some conservative policies, especially fiscal, but he's making everybody mad. He's defying this two-party mentality, the Republicans and the Democrats. I don't think you can label him. Some people are scolding me, saying, Martin, don't you realize that Trump is just as much a conservative, just as much a Republican, just as much a globalist? Yeah, that's what they're telling me. He's just as much a globalist as everybody else. I'm not convinced. I'm sorry, you haven't convinced me of that. I think he loves America. Do I think he's plugged into the truth of God? Hell no. I'm not saying that. But I think he truly does love America, and he's pulling the country back together, which is good. I love my country. But I'm not identified, ultimately, with the United States. I'm identified with God. You know that. But I also reject this branch of teaching in our very assembly, in the body of Christ, which says that you have no right to be nationalistic at all. You have no right to love your country. You have no right to be proud of your country. You're a celestial citizen. That's really grand and glorious, but I'm still living here in the United States. I'm proud of my family. Am I not? Am I not proud of my children? Am I not proud of what my parents built for me? Am I not proud of my hometown of Canton, Ohio, where I went to school? Yes, I'm sorry that I'm still wearing flesh and blood, and I still am a soul, okay? For all you people who have just so totally gone on that you have nothing to do with this earth. Wow, really? Then what practical good are you, really? So, anyway, conservatives are now rebels, and people who believe in God are also rebels. Everybody just wants to be a rebel, and I see that with a good thing. We're rebels with a cause, just like James Dean was. What is our cause? Our cause is Christ. Our cause is God. I realize not all rebels' cause is Christ and God, but it's ours. And it's fine. Who wants to be ordinary, really? Who wants to be walking the well-trodden path? There are still those who do. There are still those who think that mainstream is good, that the mainstream news is right, that mainstream religion is right, and that you don't step beyond the line. Like when I was in grade school at St. Joan of Arc School in Canton, Ohio, there was these two green lines going down the hallway. And I think it was just on architectural flourish. I don't think it was meant for the purpose that the nuns and the teachers in my school used it for eventually. But it was just like, here's a nice design. Let's put two green lines made of tiles going down the entire hallway from grades 1 through 8. But my teachers and the administrators of the school used those lines to march the students down, the girls on one line and the boys on the other line. And we marched like a bunch of goose steppers. There's some value in that. There's much value in discipline instead of people just running around haphazardly. So here I am. I'm getting ready to slam those two lines and say how terrible that we walked in straight lines. But I'm thinking that in the developmental stages of my life, that wasn't a bad thing as a youth. But then as you grow older, it's a natural progression for people to begin thinking on their own. Parents, of course, guide us. The parents are our earliest form of the line, the green lines at my school where you walk straight. And then as you begin to think for yourself, you leave those lines. Absolutely. We're meant to leave those lines. And God has lines. This is interesting. God has lines, but most of our lives are in a gray area, really. God tells us very few things that we really should do. Even Paul exhorts us, don't defraud one another, be kind to one another, love one another. These are very broad, general things to do. And then there are very few bad things that we really should not do. There are positive things and negative things. But there are very few of them is what I'm saying. Paul says, don't become unequally yoked with unbelievers. And of course, God's commandments are there, do not kill and all these things. But most of our life is lived in a gray area. God doesn't tell you in the Bible where to live. He doesn't tell you who you should marry. He doesn't tell you the diet you should be on. He doesn't tell you what kind of exercise you should do. He doesn't tell you whether you should move to that new city or stay in your city. You don't look in the Bible to find out, should I take that new job that's just been offered me? It's not there. So this is the gray area I'm talking about, and this is where the Spirit of God takes over. So this is part of our delicious rebellion. We have a delicious rebellion that we're allowed to be a part of. We're allowed to be a part of it. And it's God. God is there. It's freelance. It's fun. It's fluid. It's moving. And this is our walk. And as we're engaged here together, we can also look at what appears to be radicalness happening in our religion and politics today. But it's all according to a course of action that is being executed by God. Rest assured of that. Okay, I was a little bit all over the map today. I thought it was fun. I hope you thought it was fun. Tomorrow I'm going to get more specific. I want to talk about the death blow that one of the heads of the Wild Beast Confederation will receive. I know we talked about this back in Revelation 13. The death of the two witnesses dead in the streets for 3.5 days. All this stuff is going to happen literally. I haven't said that in a while. You need to be reminded of it. And I'm going to do that by the grace of God tomorrow.